Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So, Happy New Year to you, Misty.
Happy New Year to you, Bonnie. How are you?
Good, and Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Tonight we're going to be having a shortened abridged show because Misty and I just really wanted to wish you a Happy New Year. We weren't going to do the show tonight, but we wanted to make contact with our listeners, and so many of you are loyal listeners, and we know that this show really helps you stay connected. But we will have a shortened edition. However, if you would like to call in to us and voice any opinions, you can call us live at area code 646-716-4893. And I'll repeat that number again. It's area code 646-716-4893. If you do call in, your calls can be anonymous. Nobody has to know who you are. And we'll keep that information private, but you can voice your opinion or tell us how you feel or ask us any questions you would like to. In the upcoming weeks, we're going to have some really interesting guests throughout January. So we hope that you'll be joining our show. And we talk about the issues that affect millions of women in this country and millions more from around the world. And we really appreciate our listening audience that's listening from Australia, from the United Kingdom, Ireland, South Africa. You know, I get letters from South America, from all over the world. You know, of people who really appreciate this show because they don't feel connected or they feel isolated and alone. And when they hear our show, they really do feel connected. So we really came here tonight to help you feel better and hope that, you know, you have a really wonderful new year because, you know, I think that a year in anybody's life can make a real difference. How do you feel about that, Misty?
Oh, my gosh, a year. Oh, wow, what a difference it makes. I know. Reflecting back on my first year, oh my goodness, I took a year and devoted to myself, and I completely reinvented myself. A year can make a huge difference, huge, huge difference in the healing process, huge.
Yeah, I think that a lot of our women who were in our support chat tonight, they were saying a year ago what a different place they were in or how far their lives have come in this last year, and a lot of that has been through having support, from having other women to connect to. And,
yeah,
you know, that just makes me remember that I did want to mention that coming the first weekend in March, we have a get-together in Texas, in Houston, Texas, that I'm really excited about. Because whenever women can get together, it really gives them the strength and the courage and the information that they need. And last week I had the pleasure of meeting with a group of ours in New York City. And it was just such a wonderful get-together. You know, and so many women who are moving on in their lives, and they just need that extra support. And, you know, I don't want to mention anybody by name, but someone whose name sounds a lot like mine who was there, I send a big hug out to you. And to the other women who were there, we've decided that in the future we're going to be holding quarterly meetings in New York. So we'll be announcing more in my upcoming newsletter about those meetings because people need that strength. And I think that hearing other people's stories and that you can do it, that, you know, these are the roads to do it, from getting information, no, you are not crazy. I think that was the really one unifying thought that most people had was that they thought they were going crazy.
Absolutely.
And I think by meeting with other women who can talk about it and share their stories with you, there's such a connection that could be made. And that's why, you know, in New York we're going to be doing it quarterly. But in Texas, I'm really excited about that weekend, Misty. Because
I know.
Huh?
I said, I know. It sounds like it's coming together quite beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really excited because, you know, Patsy Ray is going to be there. And also Debbie, you know, from Florida is going to be there, who's very strong as a Christian counselor. And Patsy Ray, of course, for Christian women who are having any doubts that they need to get out of their marriages. And there are going to be a lot of women coming in just, you know, because they need that Christian viewpoint. And hopefully you'll be coming in too, Misty.
That would be great.
And Wendy's going to be there from Wendy's List. because Wendy lives in Texas. And so we have some wonderful women, you know, who are in Texas. In fact, you know, one of them came in to my Philadelphia meeting, and her name's Lynn, and she's helping getting us all set up at a really nice place for a really reasonable rate. So I think that if you can get there for that weekend, it can really change your life, just like every time we get together as a group. It gives women the strength and the courage to recognize the things that they need to do to move on in their lives. And you know what? People aren't coming there unless they're ready to make some kind of move. And the move doesn't have to be today, and it doesn't have to be next week. You know, I always say you have to be emotionally free first before you can become physically free. But at least to confirm how you're feeling, at least to confirm that you're not crazy. And I think that's the best part of these meetings. When you walk away, you finally feel empowered.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why we're having our Houston trip. And if you're interested in coming, all you have to do is email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's bonkaye@aol.com. And I'll give you the details and information. And I think it's going to be, like I say, one of our most dynamic weekends ever. So, Missy, you know, the New Year is a time to make New Year's resolutions. Have you made any?
I have. I'm you know, usually not a list type person, but I truly and firmly believe in intentions. So I've absolutely already started the process. I've decided what is being left behind in 2011, and I'm beginning to pick up the torch of what I feel like I wish to come into my life for 2012. And it's a process, actually, that I learned to do right before I got divorced, and I've carried it out, and it works for me. And I truly believe in intentions. I, you know, don't believe in setting myself up for failure. So, you know, you got to be careful, I think, what types of intentions that you do set. And be kind, gentle to yourself. No need to push, but just nudge yourself a little past comfort zone, and and it's a yearly thing that I do. I love to do it. So I don't have this huge list, but I do set intentions, and it works for me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the problem. A lot of people make too many, you know, resolutions, and then when they have to keep them, they just all fall under.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great idea. You know, just pick one or two that can make a difference for you.
Absolutely.
And I came up with some thoughts, so I'd just like to get your feelings about them, Misty, about what I would wish for women this year. And this is not resolutions, but this is my wishes for all of you who are listening to my show, and also for those of you who are in this situation. The first thing I wish for everyone is that the hurt that comes from being in a marriage to a gay man will no longer be your hurt. And, of course, the way that you can have that happen, of course, is by getting ready to leave your marriage. And I'm not saying, once again, that it has to be today or tomorrow, but you have to be emotionally free first, and then you can become physically free. But once you make that emotional decision that I'm leaving this marriage, that I have to get out of here because it's hurting me, you will all of a sudden, I think, be feeling a lot better. How do you feel about that, Misty, about emotional commitment?
I wholeheartedly believe it because I've experienced it, and I look back to my life. I tried once or twice, not, you know, it was probably done, to go through with the divorce process, and I just absolutely was not ready. I was married for 10 years to a gay man, and I didn't have support, so I know what it's like to not have support. And I consider myself a strong person. It's just, it was an issue greater than me, greater than I could handle alone. And each time I would back out of the divorce, I would feel like a failure. You know, not only was I a failure at marriage, I was a failure at getting a divorce. So
well,
I know
that's a really
that
good point, Missy.
Yeah,
I think that's an excellent point.
Mhm. And you
I
feel
never
like
quite
a complete
heard
failure.
It articulated that way, but I think it's a great thing to say that. Not
it's
only were
true.
You a failure at marriage, but you're a failure at getting divorced. That made you feel like a double whammy there.
Yeah, double loser. And it was awful. I mean, I was depressed. I was, I thought I was broken to the point of no return. And so for some reason, you know, going to get a divorce and not carrying through with it and feeling like it was a failure, it did serve a purpose, even though if I'd gotten support sooner, I wouldn't have to go through all the agony. But during that time of feeling like a failure, I somehow managed to, I guess, intuitively or decided to listen to myself somewhat because I was trying to gain my voice back, my inner voice. And for those of you married to Anne, I know you know what I'm talking about. You lose that. You lose all sense of who you are. So I was really trying to gain that back. And in the process of doing that, I thought, okay, I'm a failure at divorce, but I'm going to pretend that I'm divorcing him. So basically what I did an emotional divorce. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was, I started more. I started deciding what my future would look like. Mm-hmm. Not with him, you know, with my future. You know, was I going to finish school? I was going to the University of Kentucky at the time. What did I want to go into? Did I want to be a path I was on? And it was hard. It was not easy to visualize or look at my future without him in it. Because when I married for life. And but bit by bit, piece by piece, I did what I call an emotional divorce. And when I did that, I was ready for the physical divorce, meaning I found some proper support. And through a cousin of mine that was just so instrumental and helpful to me, she actually even found my divorce attorney. I went through the physical aspects of taking my body into an attorney's office and started the divorce proceeding. I wasn't able to do that before. Like I said, not only was I a failure at marriage, I was a failure at divorce. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I was just felt so broken. So once I was able to emotionally divorce myself and realize, and I mean, I had a small glimmer of hope. Now, I'm not talking a huge glimmer of hope. I had a small glimmer of hope that it would be fine, that there would be life after marriage, that I would have a life. I would, you know, figure out what my career path was, and I would focus on things such as that. And you know what? It worked. It worked. That time around, it worked with support and having gone through, like, an emotional divorce. I was able to carry it through. It was so much easier than the first time.
And I think a lot of times that, you know, if we can visualize ourselves in a different position, it's like, mm-hmm. how many women come to me all the time and I feel so bad because they feel so stuck because mm-hmm. they don't have an education, they don't have skills, they're a mother of three or four children, they mm-hmm. have an autistic child or a handicapped child, they depend on other kinds of emotional support and physical support from their husbands or from family members, and they know if they get a divorce, that support's going to be gone mm-hmm. and there's going to be no way for them to support themselves. You know, they have a million obstacles in front of them. And I'm not saying they're imaginary. These are real, honest-to-goodness obstacles.
Absolutely.
And believe me, I appreciate it because I was there. You know, I had a chronically ill baby and another 2.5-year-old, and I was scared to death to think about, you know, leaving a marriage at that point. And chances are, if my ex-husband didn't do me the favor and leave, even though he came back a week later, but it gave me that week to pull myself together, to say, no matter how hard this is, I can do this. What I can't do is the constant emotional battling mm-hmm. of going to bed at night crying and waking up miserable the next day and feeling like life isn't worth living or I can't be a capable mother to my children because I'm so unhappy all the time. To me, that was even scarier, but I know it's difficult, and I don't know if I could have just walked away. So I can sympathize with every woman who's in every kind of situation. But I do know that if you become emotionally free, that's step one. And if you get support, that's step two. And by getting support of others who have been through it and learning from their experiences and what to look out for and what to do in your life, I mean, that's a major part of it. And that's why I have so much support available through my support chat, through the show here with Misty, through my monthly newsletters, you know, through my website, gayhusbands.com. Nobody ever has to feel alone in the situation anymore. I mean, even if you're spread out, I was so excited because one of our support group members, who I love, Beth, she was so kind. I had a woman write to me from her area. And as soon as I wrote to her, I said, do you think you could give this woman support the next minute? I mean, she said yes. And this happens a lot to other women also. They become what I call pain pals to other women going through this. Our women are extremely generous in offering support to other women. And I think it's just wonderful that, you know, to have this kind of support network of thousands of women who are a part of this support network who are really willing to reach out. And if you can't, you know, you need to meet somebody face-to-face, they're willing to do it and more than happy to do it. And I was so excited, Misty, because one of my wonderful members in Alaska, which is really, you know, kind of big spread-out place or pretty isolated up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love this woman. She's just wonderful. And I had another woman from Anchorage write to me and say she wishes she could have support, and I hooked them right up together. They've already been out like 3 or 4 times in the last few weeks. And
wow,
both,
I call that a miracle.
I know. I consider it a miracle that when you have people in a neighborhood or an area that are close to each other to be able to hook them up and get them that kind of support. And I'm going to be looking for more and more live support this year as we progress. So I think support is a key factor. And once again, you don't have to feel embarrassed or ashamed. You know, if you can't do it right away, like Misty said, it took time for her to do it. And she didn't have little children at home, but she was just the most broken down, right?
Yeah, that's, I want to touch on that a moment here. I came from an extreme from you. Here you are, you know, got these little babies with health issues, you know, one with health issues and, you know, financial issues, you know, how am I going to provide for these children, all this and that. I was on the opposite end of the spectrum. You know, I had no children. I just had to worry about me. I was providing the finances and still felt handicapped that I couldn't get out. So, I mean, it that shows you how debilitating, you know, because basically I had very few ties that should have bound me to that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I still stayed for 10 years, put up with it, and put up with the domestic violence that was involved with it. And it's just really bizarre to think how that you can get into something, and trust me, I know the circle of crazy all too well because I lived it for 10 years, which is, you know, embarrassing to admit sometimes, but I hope others do learn from what I've gone through and what I've experienced. It's not easy, even coming from
not
having children. I think
your mind becomes very eroded. I don't know how better to, you know, put it than that. That
well,
you know,
your
you
insides
question
are erased.
Thing.
You know, you're blank and hollow on the inside.
Exactly, and you question it, you know, and then you start thinking, well, maybe this is the best I deserve, you know, because you have someone who's passive-aggressive or someone who's emotionally manipulative making you feel that you're not worth more than this, or that you're not normal or that you're not crazy. So they know all the buttons to hit a lot of these guys. I'm not saying they're all like this, but a lot of them are.
Right.
And like I tell women, that's because rather than internalize, it's easier for them to externalize.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than them taking responsibility that they are the problem, they'd rather turn it on you and make it like you're the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they control us and manipulate us and make us feel bad about ourselves and that we don't deserve any better.
That's how they take your hand and they think you're crazy and you get pulled right into it.
Absolutely.
And it's manipulation.
And I always tell women, if you need articles on emotional manipulation, I have a lot of articles that I can send you. So you can see exactly how you're being pulled like a puppet, you know, at his convenience. Now, that's not to say there aren't nice husbands or, you know, husbands who are really good husbands, because there's also some of those also, you know, who really feel terrible that this is going on. They really feel helpless. You know, they want to do the right thing, and they work with me in coming out. So those guys, I always give them a lot of credit. You know, we understand more than anyone how men get confused about this issue, how they don't want to be gay, how they're fighting it, how their religious community, you know, is going to condemn them if they come out gay. You know, they fall in love with the woman the best that they can fall in love with her. They think it's the kind of love that they're looking for, and they go into these marriages, in most cases, in good faith. You know, they're not saying, oh, I'm a gay man, let me screw a woman because I hate women. That's not how it works.
I agree.
There are gay men who are hoping that they're not going to be gay, and that if they love a woman enough and they have those feelings and they can, you know, make love to her, that those feelings of gay are going to go away. But that's just not how it works. But, you know, like I say, they go in with good intentions. It just doesn't work. So they need to admit, you know, this is not who I am. let me tell my wife the truth. And I think it'd be really nice, guys, if you're listening, because I know I have some wonderful male listeners too. But, you know, it'd be really nice if you can move out of the marriage before you have to go testing yourself. I mean, I think that any man should know, if you're attracted to men and you want to have a sexual relationship with a man, you don't have to do it first to prove to yourself that you're gay. You know, it's still within the marriage, you know, infidelity. And, you know, if you try to look at it that way, that I don't want to hurt my wife, then you should wait. I mean, you know what your feelings are. You know, it's not like a fake attraction to men. If you get excited by thinking about men, and it's not just a sexual thing. I think if we've learned anything in these last couple of years, that for most men, it's more than just a sexual thing. It's a feeling of wanting to have that same kind of excitement you're supposed to have with your wife as far as being a partner and as far as doing things and having common bonds, that this is how you feel about being with a man. I mean, and I can understand where, you know, it's certainly a lot of women think it's just about sex, but it's not. I mean, for some men it is, the ones who are hiding. But for the ones who want to be honest about it and open about it, you know, certainly not just about sex. Do you agree with that, Misty?
I do. I do agree with that. I feel like many gay men and lesbian women are looking for the same thing that we're looking for as straight people, you know, a bond, an emotional connection, some core values that are similar. It's not just about sex. It's about all those things that help you meld together as a couple. It's different to gay people. That's what I believe they're seeking as well. So it's not just about sex.
No,
you know,
it's
they're
not.
Looking for the same things that we look for in relationships.
And they were looking for it when they married their wives, hoping that was going to be it.
But, they were hoping it would change.
It's not. They try to be something that they're not, and they try their best, but their best can never be good enough because they're gay. You can't be straight when you're gay. You can't pretend that you're going to be straight. I mean, you can pretend, but it's going to be really hard to keep pulling it off, don't you think so?
Exactly. I mean, I guess myself, you know, sometimes when I talk to women, it's, oh, well, you know, I'll try to reflect the situation back on them. And I'll say, okay, well, how could you, if you were, you know, and I'm speaking to women here, if you were a lesbian, if you were not a lesbian and you want to get in a relationship and would be one thing for you to do in your society, how would you pretend that you were to be with another woman? They say, oh, I can't. And, you know, that's how I try to, with different perspectives, because it's not all mean and evil ploys, you know. I mean, in the beginning, I think many of us feel like that. And it's a process you have to get through. It's an anger, it's a grief process, and I hope that many of the husbands and ex-husbands out there are patient with it because, you know, it's hard for us to understand it. And,
right. And
it's not easy.
And this is the other thing I tell men. You struggled with this for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took you a lifetime to realize what you were. Why do you think that we're going to hear it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks later, be able to absorb it, process it, understand it, and accept it, and deal with it?
We're not.
I think that's a very unfair expectation on behalf of men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the time they're ready to tell their wives, they're ready to move on. So
mm-hmm.
they've struggled with it for years, but they can't understand why their wives can't just accept it and move on. Like, they're ready to move on. Well, you know, what's good for the goose, I always say, is good for the gander. You know, you led this life for years without dealing with it. You know, how do you think your wife's just supposed to accept it? Or why would she?
Exactly.
It's going to be hurt, right?
Exactly. It's a process you have to go through. I mean, oftentimes I get women that are, I guess the average age, let me think, it's probably, I'm going to say 40-ish, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's the majority of women I get, 40, 50, 60, you know. And if you think that they're married to a partner roughly the same age, it's taken them that long to be comfortable enough with that partner to say, okay, I'm leaving now. I'm in love with another man. How can a woman, as you know, because women, we build our lives around relationships. That's how we define ourselves. It's natural for us to do that. I don't think men do that as much as women. And, you know, when women, we have this female brain inside of us that builds our life around a relationship, you know, and that's how we define ourselves. How can we move on to something so foreign to us so quickly. It's just, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen that fast. So, I mean, that's my big thing to a lot of the men that I talk to. You know, be patient. She's going to want to ask you a million and one questions. Be patient. You know, it takes a while. It doesn't come overnight. It didn't come overnight with them when they left. So how can it come overnight for someone that has no clue?
I'd rather deal with those men than the men who leave and they never tell the wife why. Leaving her wonder for the rest of her life, what did she do wrong? Why didn't the marriage work? You know, those are the men to me who are cowards. I mean, they just walk away. They never tell the wife the truth. And a lot of times, even to friends and to the public, they'll blame their wives for the, you know, for the marriage ending, you know, because it's easier to reflect back on her than to take the responsibility for themselves. Mm-hmm. And they can let their, you know, they promised to love this woman and, you know, take care of her in every possible way when they took their marriage vows. Well, part of that is being honest about it. You know, I think a lot of women could deal with it better, at least if they knew the truth, rather than wondering what they did wrong in the marriage. And, you know, it's like I told a friend of mine who's gay and who's getting a divorce, I said, you need to tell her why. You owe her that explanation why the marriage isn't working. I said, if you truly love her, then don't make her sit and wonder for one more minute why the marriage is falling apart. Or tell me that, or, you know, tell her that it's because you're growing apart or your opinions are different. That's not the right way to do it. You know, man up to it and tell her the truth. You loved her. You thought it would work. You did everything possible. You know, you tried as hard as you could, but you can't change who you are. And you know what? Then she'll deal with it.
Right.
But to leave her stranded and not let her think that, you know, what's the problem is you, not her, is wrong.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And then there's another subset, I think, that takes it even to a degree that's even beyond that, is the ones that will not own up to it, and they're so uncomfortable of not having a wife for their cover that they remarry.
I know, and that to me is even more horrible. Those are what
now,
I say with straight gay men. You know, they're never going to be honest. They're always going to live a lie. And it's kind of interesting that I had a man who wrote to me a couple weeks ago and who had a nice argument with me, you know, as many of them like to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read you this note. I'm pulling it up now. But he's a guy who's an alpha man. Have you heard of that?
I've not heard of that referred to, and I don't think in this sense. I've heard the term, but I'm not for sure where you're going to with this.
Yeah, well, neither did I, because, you know, people call themselves all different kinds of things. And, you know, anything but the real word. But here's what he said, Bonnie, I've been married twice and I have infrequently had relationships with men and have a lot of information on what you're talking about. I said in my last newsletter, here are some things I don't understand. I don't understand why some gay husbands compromise their wives' health by having unprotected sex with men and then their wives. So he wrote back to me and said, most married men do not engage in anal sex for this very reason. Just kissing and mutual jack-off and frottage. I know from direct observation. Married men are typically very careful about this for the exact reason you state. They love their wives. And then I wrote, I don't understand why gay men are out there having multiple affairs before they can believe they are gay. And he wrote back, because they are not gay. Gay is a label and a lifestyle, not a state of being. You need to understand why men act this way. We are not women. Our brains are wired differently. I've been married twice, and neither time did I divorce because I like to be with a man sometimes. It has nothing to do with my wife, nothing. If you study primate societies, you will discover that in all primate species where the females and males live in separate groups, homosexual behavior has been observed, and the reason the genes for it are passed down are related to the actual purpose in its natural selection. In chimp societies, male chimps who are dominant sodomize and dominate the other males, are the males that we have access to the females. The other males are beta males, much like workers in a beehive, and they rarely have access. Males being labeled as gay or bi are actually true genetic alpha males. These genes were selected for because only these males were aggressive enough to dominate both the males and females. So you have to remember, apes and primates are intelligent. So normal sexual competition strategies between males observed in lower mammals break down in primates, which lead to the development by natural selection of another model to select the most fit males for reproduction. This appears to be its genetic basis and why the genes were selected for and existed in all primates, including humans. You can take 100 men who are not gay and put them in prison together, and within a year, most of them, if not all of them, are engaging in homosexual behavior and enjoying it. Then when we get out of prison, the very idea makes them want to throw up. It's because these genes are all males and are active in a varying degree to all men. When men are confined to a group of males, these genes appear to activate. Just in the same way men, they are switched on at all times. When I want to be with a man, it's a deep subconscious desire to dominate another male and has nothing to do with my wife. In fact, it makes me want her more afterward. I cheated on my first wife with men, but not my second. I learned and accepted I am an alpha male, and this is just the way I was born. But I like women, not men. And I find sex with men unsatisfying compared to the powerful passion and intense emotions I feel when making love to a woman. You are fortunate to have been married to an alpha male. If you had understood what was happening in his head, you could have averted your divorce. It's the labels and enforcement of Western views of morality and role models that screwed both of you up. And then I wrote, I don't understand how gay men marry a woman they supposedly love but mistreat her by making her think she's crazy. And he wrote, again, it's the role models that messed you both up. What you and the rest of society considers a normal male is actually a neutered beta male that mother nature selected for cannon fodder and to be used as a disposable workforce. Human society is totally constructed around beta males. Alpha males exist on the fringe of what we call civilization, but we still exist, and we start companies and live independent of what you term normal. He married you because he loved you, but he could not exist in the framework around him. That's my guess. He knew he did not fit in and had nothing to do with you. Nothing. He loved you, but he is an alpha male, which means he will love himself more. His genes were encoded that way, so he would best fit, be the best fit for survival. Well, that's from my alpha male. What do you think?
Well, you know, I want to I want to respect people's opinion. He's got a lot of science thrown in there. I've taken a lot of science in my past because God knows I went to school. I've gone to school forever. So you know, there's a lot of science in there, but. You know, I just want to make this really simple because it just sounds like it's a lot of things using a lot of science to make a point. Of course, you know, I've worked in research before. You can skew your research in just about any way you want it to show, you know, when you go into the research before you even go through the process. You know, what happened to boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love? You know, I mean, that's, I'll take the beta males. Okay, if that's what he wants to call it, I'm a straight woman, I would prefer a beta male. So if that's what he wants to call it, that's fine. You know, he's doing the same labeling that he's accusing our society of doing. He's labeling alpha male, beta male, and you know all this other stuff. So he's subscribing to labels as well. And I think it's interesting that he's telling you, giving you advice, that if you had only known that you had an alpha male, you could have saved your marriage. Well, he knew he was alpha male. So why didn't he save his marriages?
I feel really bad about that, too. If only I would have known. But
yeah. Here's
the whole thing, Misty. I'm going to say this because, you know, it's really important for me to let women know that I don't care if you're an alpha male, asexual, bisexual, metrosexual, no sexual, like I say, anything other than heterosexual to me is gay. And I know that, you know, once again, a lot of people don't understand that, well, maybe it's not, you know, gay, or if he only does it once in a while, or, you know, he's just getting off or whatever. My point is, there's nothing wrong with being gay. It's not like I'm saying you're a deviant and a pervert. Gay means that you want to have sex with a man. It's that simple. You want to have gay sex. It's not like I'm condemning you or I'm knocking you. I mean, I think there is absolutely nothing wrong with being gay. I just think you have to own up to it and not give yourself a different kind of label and mislead people into thinking you're not gay when you're having gay sex. You know, gay is not a lifestyle. Gay is who you are. You know, gay means that you want to have sex with a man. It doesn't mean you want to have to be out at gay bars and gay protests and gay parades. You don't have to find your gay soulmate, but if you want gay sex, it's gay. Now, do you feel the same way?
Well, here's what I'm going to say. I always like to bring it back to me because I don't want to, you know, impose my beliefs on anyone else. So I'm going to bring it back to me. Okay, I'm a straight woman. So if you're, you know, if I'm a single straight woman, and if you are a male that has had sex with another male, that's okay. But don't ask me on a date. I'm not interested. You know, if you think about me, or what, that's fine. But as a partner, as a mate, that's not what I want as a straight woman. And I'm not here to diagnose, label, or whatever, because I think it's okay. You know, as long as you know what you are, it's fine. But as a straight woman, no, we don't want someone that... Or I'm going to take it back to myself. I don't want someone that has, you know, sexual fantasies, acted out on them with men. No, it's fine. I'm like you. I call that gay. They can call it whatever they want. That's
no,
what
I don't want a man to have
I don't want that as a partner.
A man to make love to me. Is that what it kind of comes
Absolutely.
Down to?
Absolutely. And it's such a different connection. It's like I was going, you know, we were talking earlier. I want that emotional bond. I want the passion. I want, you know, the sex, all that stuff that comes together that makes a wonderful relationship, the core values. And I want someone that prefers women.
And I agree with you on that. But I will say that I've had plenty of experiences in my life where there weren't those core values of having, you know, a relationship. I just wanted to have, you know, a sexual relationship with someone, you know, when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, what my needs were during those years. And I still think that's fine. But I still want a man who's straight. You know, I don't want a man looking up to me and thinking about another man.
Exactly.
Even if there's nothing else besides sex. I want, when we're making love, that I'm the one on the person's mind.
Right. And
people say, well,
don't
you fantasize? Well, I don't fantasize. I want to be with the man that I'm with.
Right.
I shouldn't need to fantasize to make love to someone who I want to be with.
Yeah, if I'm fantasizing, I'm fantasizing about the person I'm with. You know?
Right.
Yes, exactly. I'm not going to have sex with someone that I have to fantasize about either a different sex or someone else. No, I want to have sex with the person that I'm fantasizing about. So that comes from my straight mind, and I think that's, I speak for a lot of women. I know not every woman, but I think, you know, we're speaking for a lot of women here. And
right, and you know, Missy, I still have to tell you, now that I've turned 60, there's still a lot of things I don't understand. And I accept them. You know, I have another radio show earlier than ours, you know, called Books of Excellence Radio Show, because I'm part of a author's co-op that I started. And, you know, this was a number of years ago. So I have the show, and I have different guests from my co-op on the show. And I have one young lady who writes books about, I guess, bondage books. I mean, they're called spanking. And, you know, I try to understand it, you know, like I've asked her many times on my, you know, I've had her several times on my show, from my author show, about this whole issue of spanking, because quite frankly, I don't understand it. I don't understand why people get aroused by watching somebody getting spanked.
Mm-hmm.
And not because I'm against it, I just don't get it. You know, there are certain sexual fetishes that I just don't understand. And I've had her try to explain it on the show, that when you're younger, and you see on television, like, Superman being in Lois Lane all wrapped up in rope, you know, how that's turned some people on. You know, like I say, I still don't quite understand why pain and sex are associated. Even though I certainly tried to study it for years, I still don't quite get it, but that's me. But I don't judge people as long as they want to do something and they're not getting hurt, you know. But
exactly.
There are certain things that, you know, turn people on. And they do fantasize. And, you know, I'm not against fantasizing. Everybody does things differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at least if you're fantasizing about the person you're with, it makes more sense to me having to fantasize about a man when you're the man and you're with a woman in order to get turned on by her. I mean, I think that's over the borderline. What do you think?
I agree. I completely agree. And I say I agree because that's, having gone through what I've gone through, that's why I'm going to say I agree. I want someone with me that wants to be with me, wants to be not just with me as a roommate, but that wants to be with all of me, the sexual me, the physical me, the spiritual me that makes up me, you know, just the whole thing, the 100% me. I want that person, that's who I want to be with me, not the person that says, okay, I want all of her except her feminine, her sexual side, the side that makes her a woman. That's an incomplete relationship to me. I see a relationship as like a circle, just pulling it together, you know. And you know, sometimes the circle's a little off balance, and you know, you work through things. And to me, that would just be a broken circle, because
yeah, that's so good. Can you repeat that again?
I'll try.
Someone
I'll try.
Who wants other aspects of you, but not the feminine side of you.
Yeah, and you know, I want someone that wants all of me. That's part of me. I don't want someone that picks and chooses. Okay, I love this woman. I love everything about her except the feminine part of her, her vagina, the sex part. I love her all except that. Well, that's broken to me because, you know, I'm older and wiser now than what I was when I got married many years ago. But I want to be with the person that wants me for all of me, because to me, that's what makes a whole, healthy, happy relationship. And that's a relationship you can build on. You're never going to build on a relationship where they don't want a part of you that's very significant.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, when women write me letters and they tell me, well, my husband only wants to have sex with me, you know, anally, that he won't have sex with me the other way, or after my husband makes love to me or has sex with me, he has to go wash himself off because he feels it's dirty. I mean, how good can you feel about yourself being married to that kind of man?
You can't.
I mean, he's a broken man, and, you know, you can't mend these broken men. You know, and I think that's, you know, what the problem is for so many of our women, that, you know, they're always trying to fix something that can't be fixed. It's broken beyond repair.
Right, the marriage itself, because if they were with another man, it wouldn't be broken. But the man is with a woman, and it just doesn't go together. The partnership doesn't meet.
You're exactly right. And, you know, that leads me to the next thing where I said that, you know, one of my wishes is that I wish you could can all love yourselves more than him and think with your heads instead of your heart. And
yeah.
I think that's a problem. Like, people say to me, why do people put up with this? Why do women stay in these marriages? Why aren't women doing anything? You know, I think that so many of these women that, you know, we work with love their husbands so much. You know, they went into these marriages loving them, and they love so hard, and they love so much. And they know in their heads that there's something wrong, but in their hearts they still want to love that man and try to make him whole and try to make him better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was at my meeting the other day in New York with my women there in New York, you know, and I said to them, and I know they were all going to be, you know, feeling a little uneasy, but I have to say how it is, that we are broken women. And I know it hurts to have to hear this. But, you know, we were fragile when we went into these marriages, or we probably wouldn't, many of us wouldn't have gone into them. You know, we all have some issues ourselves, you know, whether it was low self-esteem, family abuse, you know, the need to be loved, you know, rejection from the past. You know, a lot of times we go into marriages, you know, hoping that, you know, the marriages will fix us or we can fix the marriages. And the reality is that that's thinking with your head, you know, with your heart and not with your head, that you have to learn to trust yourself, trust your instincts, you know, recognize that, you know what, I made a mistake and I can't beat myself up for it. You know, so many of our women just beat themselves up because they made these choices. But, you know, we go into the marriages, maybe we know it's not going to be perfect. I'm not going to lie. I knew there were going to be problems in mine. But I felt that with the right love and the right caring and the right attention, that whatever problems there were, I could fix them.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christy, being honest, did you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, It was so naive. I mean, I was like 18, 19 years old. So, I mean, I was a baby compared to what I am now.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, I thought things were great. And when you're that age, oh,
uh-huh.
you conquer the world. I mean, the world's your oyster. I mean, you can do anything. Nothing you cannot do. You're just invincible. Well, you know, I just thought things would just keep getting better and better. And they did. And things, I mean, the beginning was much better than the end. It deteriorated year by year, day by day. And
it
was
when you were walking into it.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
Did you think there were any problems when you were walking into your marriage?
Oh, it was so naive. No, I thought we had the world by the tail.
Uh-huh.
And then, but see, now let's back up a bit. I was, I grew up Christian. You know, you don't have sex before marriage.
Uh-huh.
You know, all this stuff we've talked about on here before. So I didn't know there was an issue in the sex department. I mean, I was very naive.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know what a huge issue was there. You know, we were compatible on other levels, not sex level. So, you know, he was very happy with both of our upbringings that, you know, not to bring sex in before marriage. And, you know, of course, we had, would, you know, experimented with a few things, but not, we had not had, completely had sex. So I was clueless. The issues that I was getting involved in. Clueless.
Right, but did you think that he was altogether together, or did you see any weak spots?
Wow.
That's what I mean more so.
Question.
I'm not
looking
saying that
back,
we know these men are gay, but I think we do know that they have problems.
Absolutely. Looking back now, yes, a million things. But looking at that relationship from an 18, 19-year-old set of eyes, no.
Yeah, well, I think that's the problem when you get married too young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, looking at it then, no. Looking at it now, oh my goodness, there was a million red flags. A million. Million. But looking at it through that set of young eyes, young, inexperienced eyes, no, I had no clue. I thought we had the world by the tail. But, you know, it went crashing down as soon as we got married.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea what was wrong. I mean, I got into a deep depression because I thought, oh, my God, this is it. I waited this long. This is it.
Yeah,
you know,
I knew something was wrong, but I didn't quite have a handle on what it was.
I knew from
but
the honeymoon.
Rather than wait,
right.
You know, I got married anyway. And I thought whatever problems there are, I can fix them.
Right,
you know, I'm a
right.
fixer-upper. I'm somebody who likes
to fix people. I do things,
yeah,
you know?
I mean, I like to fix
yeah.
situations.
Yeah, it's a challenge. I like challenges. I can do that. But, you know,
well, I just make, you know, I think that we're all people pleasers to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
I mean, I think most of the women I meet are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not unusual if, you know, somebody wants to try to fix something up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we think it's like a house that just needs some repairs.
Yeah, just a few repairs.
We can turn it beautiful because we're successful at fixing a house up. You know,
exactly.
What's the big deal in exactly. fixing up a man?
Exactly.
But, you know, we've learned.
Build a house, so why not build a man? So, you
yeah.
know, and the sad
and I think
part
that
is.
So many women spend so many extra years in these destructive marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Because they keep thinking, well, I can fix it.
Yeah.
But it's not fixable.
No, it's not. It's broken. That relationship's broken. And I'm not saying a person's broken because they're gay. But the relationship between a gay person and a straight person, when the straight person thinks that they're married to another straight person, I mean, it's you're up against something that you just can't fix. And it's,
yeah, it's much bigger than we are, and it's just not a fixable problem. And I think that's what women have to learn, no matter what relationship they're in life, not just to a gay man. Because
absolutely.
A lot of people fall into that pattern, and the next relationship they get into is bad also.
Mm-hmm. They'll go for another man they got to fix.
Because they haven't fixed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is really what it comes down to. The only one you really need to fix is you.
That's the only person you can fix is yourself.
Right. And you know what, Misty? These things don't go away. And I work every day of my life to build my self-esteem. It's not like something that's all built up and I'm done. You
right.
know, it's an ongoing, you know, kind of process.
Mm-hmm. We evolve. We continue to evolve. And if you buy into this hype of this world, we're a self-help nation. And if you buy into some of this stuff, of these people that are completely fixed and they're selling you their potion, I mean, you're buying into something that's impossible, because I believe, yes, some of us are farther advanced than others. Some of us, some things come easier than others. But we evolve. It's not a destination. You know, your self-esteem is not a destination you arrive at. It's something you continually work on. I think most
Right.
things are. It's a journey, not a destination. It's a journey.
And I think that some of us are just so damaged after these marriages that it's a long journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
It's not an overnight journey. It's not. And
absolutely.
I mean, most of the women I work with don't want to hear this. And I don't announce it, but many will ask. When I first got divorced, wait, several years before I even considered dating. But that was me. I knew I had to repair myself. I knew I had to spend every ounce of energy on myself. I mean, I didn't date for, I think it was over 3 years. And a lot of women don't want to hear that. And it doesn't take everyone that long. I mean, granted, I was trying to heal from domestic violence as well, you know, fell on top of being married to a gay man. So, you know, people heal at different rates.
It took me 11 years.
I remember you saying that. It's not something, and some women jump in quick to relationships. And I just, you know, don't want to sound judgmental, but just be careful of that. You know, make sure you're not repeating patterns. They may be straight, but make sure you're not repeating a pattern of someone that can't emotionally care for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Misty, I think we've overstayed our time that we said we'd be here.
Yeah.
But there's always stuff to talk about, isn't there?
There is. Always. Always stuff.
Well, I know that we want to wish all of our listeners the happiest New Year ever. And we're hoping that in the upcoming year that you'll be listening to us and we can help you with a lot of these issues and to get
Absolutely.
Your life on track.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what it's about, right?
It is. It's about. That's what it's about. I mean, 2012 be your best year yet. Get your plan. You know.
Mm.
You know. If you can see it, you can be it. So I mean, visualize what your life would be. And I think the greatest thing to take from this show is if you're in a relationship right now, you know, see. You know, work on the emotional part of it first. Get some support, like you said. And it's. You know, it's not easy. We came from two different backgrounds, Bonnie, you and I, and it was hard for both of us. We know that. It doesn't happen overnight. It does
Mm-mm.
not, but it's possible.
It's a lot of residual damage. Long
mm-hmm.
after it's over, you know,
Absolutely.
You still have time to go back and revert back to times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not, you know, goes away.
No, it doesn't.
Like, women feel so disappointed when they think they've already overcome this and they come back to me and they say, I'm not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I say, I don't know if you ever really get totally there.
Mm-hmm. It happens. It happens.
So there's so much damage that's done and residual damage, you know. So, ladies, don't feel like you're alone in this world. You know, we are all struggling through this problem together. And to our gay men who listen to us, thank you for being such supporting men and, you know, doing the right thing or getting ready to do the right thing, which is being honest.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'll let you give our good night. Good night.
Yeah, Happy New Year and good night and love to all.
Happy New Year to you all and especially to you, Misty, and I love you.
Love you. Happy New Year, Bonnie.
You too. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back next week.
Bye-bye.